AM. This is CBS News on the Hour, presented by Indeed.com.
I'm Christopher Cruz. Five Americans the U.S. says were wrongfully detained are on their way home as part of a prisoner swap with Iran. We get more from CBS News Chief Foreign Affairs Correspondent Margaret Brennan.
Two of them are remaining in the United States because they're U.S. residents. Two of them went back home and another to another location, but they are not considered a really serious level of criminal here. And they are really just guilty, according to U.S. courts, of having violated sanctions. They actually went through a court process, unlike the Americans who were detained simply for being American.
President Biden has a busy time ahead of him at the annual U.N. General Assembly, says former Assistant Secretary of Defense Lawrence Korb.
Climate change has got to be one. The COVID virus, you know, to make sure we don't let that come back. I think he'll talk about the war in Ukraine and how it's not just for the United States, but it's for the world. I think he'll also thank the 40 countries that have provided aid.
The president will speak later today. The effects of the auto worker strike are spreading, says CBS's Chris Van Cleve.
Already affected is the Northland Chrysler dealership in Oak Park, Michigan. 70% of their customers are UAW workers.
You may not have inventory, but you also may not have buyers.
Correct. Not having a paycheck for a week is an impact on the buyer themselves, so they're not going to be able to come in and do that basic service. They can't buy a car if they're not actually working.
The union is threatening more walkouts if there is no meaningful progress toward a deal by Friday. Police have arrested a man they believe shot and killed a Los Angeles County Sheriff's deputy. 29-year-old Kevin Salazar was taken into custody after a standoff with police. CBS's Elise Preston says Ryan Klinkenbrumer was shot in the head Saturday as he sat in his patrol car.
Now the sheriff says tips from outraged community members helped officers capture the suspect. Some of those arresting officers were Deputy Klinkenbrumer's partners, who are mourning their fallen friend.
Police in the Bronx say fentanyl was found under a mat where children had been napping at a daycare center. A one-year-old boy died from the exposure. New York City Health Commissioner Ashwin Vasan says his inspectors may need to look more closely at the possibility of opioid exposure in daycare centers.
This, to date, has been out of the purview of these inspectors, and the incident that just happened maybe tells us that we need to make it in their purview.
President Biden's son Hunter has sued the IRS, claiming two agents violated his right to privacy when they publicly disclosed his tax information. This is CBS News.
When you think of hiring, think of Indeed. Their end-to-end hiring system helps you attract, interview, and hire candidates all in the same place. Visit Indeed.com/credit.
The lights are off. Everything is quiet. You're ready to sleep. But your brain isn't. It's going a mile a minute, stressing about every detail of your life. Like that awkward thing you said when you were 13, or whether you chose the right career, or that unanswered text you sent earlier. Sound familiar? Whether they strike before bed or any time throughout the day, racing thoughts are a pain. Therapy can give you a place to work through all those thoughts and come up with solutions so they don't keep you up at night or stop you from enjoying the rest of your day. With BetterHelp, just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist based on your needs and preferences. Connect by phone, video, or chat from wherever you are. Switch therapists anytime and use flexible week-to-week scheduling to book appointments. Get a break from your racing thoughts with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/acquire today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/acquire.
Saturdays at 1, don't miss Under the Helmet with the Gravedigger, featuring legendary Gilbert Brown and Earl Ingram. Football, life, and fun.
Earl, you've been driving a Yugo. They just gave you a brand new Ferrari with turbo boost. So enjoy it, brother.
Under the Helmet with the Gravedigger, Gilbert Brown and Earl Ingram. Saturdays at 1 on the Civic Media Network and on the Civic Media app.
My friend Teddy almost set his house on fire. He used a counterfeit, you know, a fake wall charger. He had to go to the hospital.
My big sister Jenna's face turned bright red. She was just showing people online how to use a new cream. She still has the scars.
My brother's friend Billy had to jump off his motor scooter when it caught fire. He fell and got hit by a car. He broke his leg, blew his chances to play basketball in college.
My BFF Chloe was riding her bike and hit a ditch. Her helmet broken too. Now, she has a brain injury.
There is a cost to buying cheap. Do you want to pay the price?
Real products are tested for safety. Protect yourself. Don't fall for fake products.
Visit ncpc.org/goforreal. Brought to you by the National Crime Prevention Council and the United States Patent and Trademark Office.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio, WFHR. Chance for scattered showers overnight, otherwise overcast skies. Lows around 53, winds out of the southeast 5 to 10 miles per hour. Chance for scattered showers again tomorrow. Daytime highs approaching 71. Cloudy skies. Partly cloudy skies. Tomorrow night, slight chance for isolated storms. Lows dip down to about 55. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently, it's 56.
From the home of NASCAR's Dick Trickle, locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM, your news, talk, and sports station.
This is As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry. Now, here's your host, Kristen Bry.
Hello, Wisconsin. Welcome to the second hour, the 11 o'clock hour of As Goes Wisconsin. I am your host, Kristen Bry. We got Greg Bach on the board, and I am so excited for our next guest, who officially is a guest. He is usually a listener, frequent caller, frequent contributor to the show, and we always appreciate his input. But the backstory behind this is, you know, a couple, but often there are headlines these days that look something, sound something like, Wisconsin's elder care facilities face staffing financial challenges that threaten care. Senior living facilities in Wisconsin, staffing shortage is a crisis. Complaints against assisted living facilities rising as staff shortage persists. We are in this state and across the country, a crisis in elderly care and both finding something that is affordable, finding good care, and it is something that I think a lot of people don't necessarily think about because you don't want to think about it. And so in a previous issue, when we've talked about this on the show in the past, Joe called in because Joe, this is what he specializes in. Joe is of Joe McClear of McClear Law Office in Oshkosh, specializes in long-term care planning. And we wanted to have him back to talk about this issue, both as a crisis, what policy could actually change some of this, but ultimately, with regardless of what policy changes happen, what you can do to prepare for either yourself or your parents as they age amidst this crisis. So, welcome to the show as a guest, Joe.
Thank you, Kristen. Greg, nice to meet you, finally.
Hello, Joe.
So, I guess let's just set the foundation of this as far as something that you work with every day. How would you describe the situation we are in currently in Wisconsin when it comes to elderly care and assisted living?
Well, you said the word crisis more than once, and I cannot emphasize that enough, that it is indeed a crisis. This, I mean, we are entering a time when the boomers are entering their retirement age, and the average age in this country is just going up. Our retired population is just going through the roof. So long-term care should be a booming industry, but at least in this state, it's not. We're having more facilities closed down than we are open up over the last 5 years. Wow. And of course, you mentioned the staffing issues, the quality of care issues. It's a real problem. And if we don't address it soon as a society, then what's going to happen in the next 5 to 10 years is going to be pretty dire for us all, I would say.
And so maybe to actually scare everyone, what does dire look like? Does that mean people just dying at home and not getting, like, what does that look like when you say dire, that it could be worse than what it is now?
Well, let's before we jump to that extreme, let's take the more realistic possibility is that if you need long-term care or someone you care about needs long-term care, you're not going to find a facility anywhere close to you. I recall seeing a segment, I think, on CBS maybe last year about how a wife had to put her husband into a facility that was 5 hours away. Now, that's possibly going to be coming to Wisconsin fairly soon, particularly if in the more rural areas. You're going to be looking for a facility, and there either is not going to be anyone near you, or they're going to be full, or they're going to be requiring an upfront showing of an ability to pay privately that many people are not going to be able to afford. So they'll be looking far and wide for a facility that's going to be have a bed and maybe take them on Medicaid sooner than later if they don't have the funds to pay privately. That's the immediate problem. Second of all, if somebody needs facility care, I'm not supposed to say facility. I'm told I'm supposed to say community.
Okay.
But everyone knows them as facilities. But if there aren't any nearby, then what they're going to end up doing is they're going to be taking up hospital beds, unfortunately. And they're going to be staying in hospitals, and they're going to be racking up bills through that method. Some people do have the option of staying at home, being cared for by loved ones, by adult children, but that's a lot to ask of families nowadays. For the most part, facilities are in need, and we are going to have issues with them coming up.
So I want to talk about the policy aspect of this as far as what from our lawmakers, both in the state or federally, could be done to alleviate this problem?
Well, the easy answer is money. We don't have enough funds coming in to fund our long-term care system. How it works is about two-thirds of the population in long-term care facilities in this state are on Medicaid. Medicaid is the program that will help pay for long-term care, not Medicare. Very, very different. Very big difference. But the problem is that for folks who are on Medicaid, the amount that the facility receives from both the individual and from the state in reimbursement for Medicaid is below the cost of care. So if it costs, let's just say, $7,500 a month to care for an individual in a nursing home, well, what they're going to be getting through the individual and through Medicaid is going to be somewhere along the lines of $5,000 or $5,500 a month. So the facility is not getting what it needs to take care of them. So what happens then is the private pay third mm-hmm. of the residents, they got to pay a lot more than the cost of care just so the facility can keep its lights on. So what we need to do is recognize this problem, and we need to put more funds into our Medicaid reimbursement system to bring the payment up to at least somewhat reflect the cost of care, because otherwise we're going to have short staff and we're going to have more facilities closed down.
So, and that can be changed both at the state level and the federal level, or is it separate decisions that get made as far as how this gets funded federally versus in Wisconsin?
It's a little from column A, a little from column B. I think the most important thing that we need to focus on right now is at the state level. This is a nationwide crisis, but obviously we can focus primarily on Wisconsin. We need to have there are more funds that could be available for Medicaid at the state level. We got to find them. We got to make sure that funds are shifted. Now, Medicaid is a federal program, and that's where a lot of the money comes from, but the rules can be state specific, which is why we don't have to go to our United States senators. We don't have to go to our United States Congress people. We can go to our state representatives who live in town with us and let them know, hey, here are the numbers. Here's what's going on in our state with regards to long-term care system. I'm worried about my parents. I'm worried about me coming up. What's going to happen to us in the next couple of decades? We got to address this now because we're so top-heavy right now when it comes to the age of our population that it's just going to crash the system within the next 10, 20 years.
Because, and I think this is the gap, right? Because you don't need it until you don't need it, and you're healthy until you're not. And so what is the likelihood that someone will need long-term care?
Well, if we are blessed and lucky enough to reach age 65, and I say that with sincerity because I deal with a lot of cases where that's not the instance. If that doesn't happen. But if we are lucky enough to reach age 65, then we have entered an age period where there is a 70% chance that we're going to need long-term care at some point in the future.
70.
Yep. Yes. 70% chance we're going to need long-term care at some point in the future. And that's just for an individual. For married couples, if you're in that age range, that means if you play the math out, there's a 91% chance that one of the spouses is going to need long-term care, and just under 50% that they're both going to need long-term care. So this idea is, well, that's something for other folks. That's something that I'm not going to have to worry about. Here's my plan. I'm never going to get sick. I'm never going to have Alzheimer's or dementia. I'm never going to have a stroke. I'm never going to have my body's never going to fail me. That's just not a plan. That's playing with fire right there. It is not a certainty, but it's pretty darn close. And if you don't plan for it, you could be setting yourself and your family up for a heap of trouble.
Because that is, it's also, you know, I love that sometimes when people talk about who's going to take care of you when you're older if you don't have kids.
Right.
But the thing is, even if you have kids, the expectation that your kids have the training to be able to take care of you when you talk about recovering from a stroke, when you talk about someone who has Alzheimer's, when you talk about the high need of care that can happen by the time that you need to be living in an assisted or a long-term care facility, the likelihood that your children have the housing that is ADA approved so that you can live in there, let alone that they can help, I would imagine is low.
It's very low. It does not work out most of the time. It causes an immense amount of family stress. I recall an instance where a mother moved in with her son and daughter-in-law. Within 6 months, daughter-in-law moved out. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
It really puts a strain on the household. And now that marriage worked out because eventually mother moved into a facility, daughter-in-law moves back in. But yet, both folks aren't ready for the training, aren't ready for the responsibility that involves taking care of an elderly person who needs help with getting changed, bathing themselves, using the bathroom, feeding themselves. It's an awesome responsibility. And if you're not prepared for it, and most of us are not, things are going to fall apart pretty quickly.
Absolutely. All right. Well, we're going to take a break because I want to keep you through the break. We're going to talk about it in the next commercial. After the next commercial, a little bit more details as far as how much does this actually cost? How do people plan to pay for it? What protections are there? What does insurance, like long-term care insurance, actually look like? So we'll be a little less doom and gloom, a little bit more what you can do now to prepare for this.
Hopefully.
When we come back from the next break. But our guest is Joe McClear of McClear Law Office in Oshkosh. If you have any questions for him, are you willing to take some questions via text?
Please, yes.
All right, 844-967-2789. If you have any questions for the lawyer about long-term care planning, text them in, 844-96-PARTY. And we will be back right after the break. This is As Goes Wisconsin.
From Alexander Field to the Central Business District, locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
Wisconsin. I am Kristen Bry. Greg Bach is on the board, and we are talking to Joe McClear of McClear Law Office in Oshkosh, where he focuses on elderly care And so we are talking about long-term planning and the fact that the staggering stat that you gave that anyone who lives past 65, there is a 70% chance that they will end up needing some kind of long-term assisted living care is a wild stat that I think a lot of people don't necessarily think about because, and they don't necessarily save for, because what in your experience of working with people in with long-term care planning, what do they need to be beyond retirement to live off of? What is the expected annual cost of being able to live in long-term care?
It's not great. Okay. First of all, can you hear me?
We can
now that we're
you.
Doing on the
yes,
okay,
yes.
Wonderful. So right now, it depends on where you live in the state. It can vary a little bit. But if we're just talking, say, an assisted living facility, which is what most people consider would be moving into, you're still looking at somewhere in the range of $5,000 to $6,000 a month. If you're talking a nursing home, which is more extreme when you really need a lot of help around the clock care, it's more along the lines of $9,000 to $10,000 a month. Now, in your area, in the Milwaukee area, it's actually more along the lines of $12,000 a month for a nursing home. Now, that's just right now. I would love to say that these costs have plateaued, but obviously they have not. There is a really neat website that Genworth puts out where you can look at not only the costs around the country right now, but you can project into the future. So, Greg, may I pick on you?
What's stopping you from before?
Oh, Greg, you're more than lovely. Trust me. Thank you.
Marry me. Go on.
Now, Greg, can I ask you, how old are you?
I'm 45.
45. Okay. So now the average age of when folks go into a facility, assisted living or nursing home, is usually between 75 and 84. So let's just, we always hope for the best. Let's plan for everything. Let's just say at 75, you're going to be going into a long-term care facility.
Okay.
Now, you say it's a nursing home. Can you guess what the monthly cost is going to be for you?
Well, I mean, in a 30 years from now, my guess
years from now,
probably going to be $25,000 to $30,000 a month.
Ding, ding, ding. $25,000 a month at a nursing home. And that's a statewide number. Good job, by the way. We'll send you home with a prize packet.
A McClear magnet for my fridge.
McClear merch.
Yeah. I got a lot of swag I could send to you. All right. So, yeah, it's the prices are the costs are astronomical. They're bad now. They're just going to get worse. So what people need is an ability to pay. But, you know, I talked about Medicaid. Well, here's the deal. Medicaid, because it does not pay the full cost of care, most facilities, the vast majority of facilities, will stop you at the door and say, hey, show us you can pay privately for a period of, you know, so it could be 6 months at the bottom end, could be 3 years on the high end. And they're not doing that to be greedy because they want those private funds. They're doing that because that's the only way they can keep the lights on, keep the doors open. So right now, ideally, and this is ideal, okay? Don't feel bad if this is not going to happen to you. I always tell folks that ideally, when it comes to long-term care, each individual will have somewhere between $200,000 to $250,000 right now to set aside for long-term care costs. Because one, that's going to open more doors for you in terms of what facilities you want to go to. You want to go to the nicer facility. You want to go to the more local facility. The more funds you have available to you to go in there and say, hey, look, I can pay privately for a year or two, then that's going to be more helpful for you in the long run. For most people, that's going to be their retirement accounts, their IRAs, their 401ks, their 403bs and the like. You have saved up for their retirement. If you have still some at the end when you need to get into a facility, well, there's not much we can do in terms of protecting that. So you have to look at that as a way of saying, all right, hey, nice facility in town. Look, I can pay privately for 2 years. Let me in. You're going to be in a much better position otherwise. But even if you don't have that ability, fret not. There are other options for you. If you are a veteran, or a surviving spouse of a veteran, there could be additional income sources for you from the VA to help pay for long-term care costs. There's something called the aid in attendance benefit, which for wartime veterans or their surviving spouse could be anywhere from $1,500 a month to over $3,000 a month of additional income to help get you into a nicer facility. But other than that, you got to be prepared. Ideally, you have a good insurance policy. Long-term care insurance is its own product. They're really looking for people in that 45 to 55 range, people who are not going to need it for several decades. Mm-hmm. But even if you have passed that, you're in your 60s or even closer to 70s, you always could be options for you when it comes down to policies. There's your traditional policies, which works like healthcare policies, where you use it or you lose it. But there are other types of policies that are more palatable where you can put a bunch of money into it. But if you don't actually need the long-term care, it can come back to your family. You get your premiums back or come back in the form of life insurance. A lot to cover. And I see we only got a couple of minutes left. I mean, this would be its whole hour long.
Well, we'll just have to have you back.
Exactly.
Jane and Greg will have you back when I'm on maternity leave.
Because I, for real,
with childcare.
I, for real, have questions on planning because, you know, my mom has pretty planned to the hilt. She's doing everything. She's got her long-term care plan. She's got her estate plan. And I want to start thinking about that now versus later.
Yeah.
So I'm actually going to contact you separately.
There you go. You got a new, you potentially, and I think my parents are also going to contact you. So we're just getting Joe business out here on As Goes Wisconsin. But Joe, thank you so much. We love that you are such a loyal listener and all the contributions you make as a listener. We love having you on as a guest. And this is so interesting. And also so, so, so important. So we will definitely have you back to dive more deeply into all of this when it comes to long-term planning. Joe McClear of McClear Law Office. We'll talk to you soon.
Thank you. Love the show. Take care.
All right. Goodbye. We're going to be talking to Tom Still from Wisconsin Technology Council when we come back. This is As Goes Wisconsin.
Locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM. News, talk, and sports from Vesper to Plover.
Locally grown 1320 AM and 97.5 FM WFHR programming is broadcast from the Bug Tussle Studios.
Bug Tussle, keeping you connected to the world around you.
A new head coach.
We got one objective and one goal, is to play for a championship.
A talented backfield.
Braylon Allen does it again.
And a defense that just...
Down he goes.
Won't.
Intercepted. He's gone.
Stop.
Another turnover forced.
Join us Friday. It's the Big Ten opener on the road against Purdue. Our coverage begins at 4 on your home for Wisconsin football.
It's about effort. It's about intensity.
The Badger Sports Network from Learfield on Wisconsin.
Ready to ride?
Just let me get my flip-flops on.
Whoa, Mom and Dad are going for a ride without their protective gear.
Quick, grab the checklist. I'll grab the gear.
Just where do you two think you're going without your safety gear?
Yeah, you know how we feel about riding without your gear.
Well, it's so nice out.
And we're only going for a short ride.
Not before you put all this gear on, you're not.
But...
riding pants?
Okay.
Check.
Motorcycle boots?
Bye-bye, flip-flops.
Check.
Armored jackets?
Nice.
Check.
Riding gloves?
Two pairs.
Check.
Last but not least, full face helmets.
Check.
Now you're ready to ride.
And you look cool.
All the gear, all the time. Zero in Wisconsin. Together, we can save lives. Learn more at zeroinwisconsin.gov.
Be home on time for dinner.
Sponsored by the Wisconsin Department of Transportation.
Cranberry juice, cranberry wine, cranberry brats, cranberry cream puffs. And excuse me, but my cranberry bread is ready. It's cranberry season in Wisconsin, and we're the cranberry capital of not just the U.S., but our farmers also produce more than half of the world's cranberry supply. So can you guess which state Wisconsin beat out to earn the number one spot? New Jersey? Washington State? Massachusetts? The answer coming up. Fall is harvest time, and you can see the machines rolling through the marshlands, which are flooded to help the cranberries float to the top. But it hasn't always been this it's easy. Back in the mid-1800s, the berries had to be picked by hand. It took another 100 years for the right equipment to be built to help with this harvest. Okay, so Wisconsin owns the cranberry capital title, but which state lost it to us? Massachusetts, which has been number two ever since. By the way, the cranberry is the official state fruit, making it a true slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
Medicaid and CHIP offer free or low-cost health coverage for children and teens. Hospital and doctor visits, prescriptions, shots, and more are covered. That's peace of mind for parents if a child is sick or gets injured. And parents may now be eligible for Medicaid too, even if they've applied in the past. Enrollment is always open. Visit insurekidsnow.gov or call 1-877-KIDS-NOW. Paid for by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services.
Bug Tussle, providing high-speed internet to rural Wisconsin. No data caps, no contracts. 877-227-0924. Call today to get high-speed internet now. 877-227-0924.
Wake up and text. Text and eat. Mm-mm. Text and catch the bus. Text and miss your stop.
Wait.
Text and be late to work.
Sorry, I'm late.
Text and work. Text and pretend to work. Text and act surprised when someone calls you out for not working.
Who, me?
Text and meet up with a friend you haven't seen in forever.
Hi.
Oh, hey.
Text and complain that they're on their phone the whole time. Text and listen to them complain that you're on your phone the whole time.
Ugh.
Text and whatever. But when you get behind the wheel, give your phone to a passenger. Put it in the glove box. Just don't text and drive. Visit StopTextsStopWrecks.org. A public service announcement brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio, WFHR. Chance for scattered showers overnight, otherwise overcast skies. Lows around 53, winds out of the southeast 5 to 10 miles per hour. Chance for scattered showers again tomorrow. Daytime highs approaching 71. Cloudy skies. Partly cloudy skies. Tomorrow night, slight chance for isolated storms. Lows dip down to about 55. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently, it's 56.
Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin. I am Kristen Bry. We got Greg Bach on the board. And our next guest, Tom Still, is president of the Wisconsin Technology Council, which is the science and technology policy advisor to the Wisconsin governor and the legislature. He is a former newspaper editor, special projects coordinator, and reporter who continues to write about business, technology, and public policy in Wisconsin. Welcome back to the show, Tom.
Oh, pleased to be back. Thanks, Kristen. Hi, Greg.
So I think it was back in July was the last time that we had you on, and we talked a little bit about what the Wisconsin Technology Council is. But for people who are maybe new listeners or didn't hear that segment, why would you describe in layman's terms what WTC does and is?
Sure. We're a nonprofit that plays in the policy arena a little bit, especially with the state legislature and also some other levels. And we connect entrepreneurs and investors. We have events that provide networking. We do some writing on special issues that affect the tech economy in Wisconsin. So that's us in a nutshell.
Absolutely. And so since July, I guess, what are some of the major maybe projects or initiative that have come down? I mean, since I think was the budget done by the last time that we spoke? And as far as Wisconsin Innovation Fund or any kind of the things that as far that have been thrown out there to bolster startups, bolster tech, and trying to make tech a thing in Wisconsin.
Yeah. And we are a thing.
We are a thing. But as far as the continued effort to
absolutely
make people think of Wisconsin as far as the outside of Silicon Valley, outside of Austin, outside of Nashville, think of Wisconsin as a startup spot.
Yeah, well, for starters, every time it's 101 degrees and above in Phoenix, they probably, maybe somebody there is thinking of us, right? But some good things have happened. What's called the Badger Fund of Funds, which is an investment group in Wisconsin, receive an additional investment through the state budget. That's good. We think that'll help with young companies. The Wisconsin Economic Development Corporation is getting ready to launch another $50 million fund. That came, had some financing through some federal sources. That's good. We're continuing to see things about data centers that can be cropping up in the state. And broadband, there's an effort right now to sort of reduce the tax on broadband expansions in parts of Wisconsin. So I think on all fronts, things are moving along fairly well.
That's exciting. And actually, it's funny that you mention Phoenix and some of these places that are much hotter and have specifically mm-hmm. this year been much hotter. Mm-hmm. Is yeah. that a competitive play for Wisconsin? Because you think about the air conditioning that any of these data centers or any place that has a ton of servers and computers that needs it needs a lot of air conditioning because those computers can't get overheated. Is our climate actually a competitive advantage as far as trying to appeal to companies to host or to have those companies here? Because it's like, listen, your air conditioning bill is going to be a lot less yeah. here.
Yeah, well, and yeah, I think so. It's definitely an advantage in a couple different ways. First of all, the heat, as you mentioned, like in parts of the Southwest and other places, that what you just described is certainly an issue. Here we have a history of pretty reliable power.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
You know, so that's a good thing. I think the network in Wisconsin and a little bit beyond is really kind of strong. The other piece is water. So let's say you're in Arizona and you're running a chip manufacturing mm-hmm. factory. That uses a lot of water. Does Arizona have a lot of water right now? It might be questionable. So, but we do, and we also have a lot of things that really help position manufacturers in both ways, energy and water, and just throughout manufacturing, because there's a need to conserve both. So, in fact, we're part of a National Science Foundation planning grant in that specific area.
Yeah, you mentioned that.
One of only a couple in the country. And so that's, I think we've got some advantages over that. We've seen some things lately with migration statistics. You know, I don't know if it's Gen Xers boomeranging back or if it's climate or if it's, you know, thinking, no, this is a better place for, you know, COVID recovery. It could be a combination of all of the above, but I do think climate's in the mix.
Absolutely. I mean, it's hard to imagine that it's not, just because everyone I've talked to who's spent any time in Texas or Phoenix this summer said that it was pretty brutal compared to Wisconsin. But that kind of moves on. You had an op-ed that I saw just came out this morning in the Wisconsin State Journal that's mm-hmm. titled "Range of Rankings Exist on Whether Wisconsin is Good or Bad for Small Business." And so with this, are you specifically talking about small business? Because we talked about this a little bit before, is that sometimes a startup versus a small business can get conflated.
Yeah.
But they're very different. Yeah. A startup often, I think of, is something that gets created with the intention of like high velocity growth, like having an exit strategy, whether that's an IPO or acquisition, versus a small business could stay small. And it is something that requires different kinds of funding, where you get funding from. And so with your article, are you talking more about both or one or the other?
It's a little bit of both,
okay.
to be honest. I mean, small businesses, you're right. It could be your classic Main Street business and retail or whatever else. So the column I wrote, it said, well, in some areas, like for longevity, for example, survival of a small business, we're actually ranked number two in the country by at least one source.
Yeah.
That's great.
Yeah.
I think there's a little Midwest stubbornness involved in that, but that's okay.
Absolutely.
I will not give up.
that's what we do. And then, but then there are some other rankings that were pretty far down, but I think in general, we're probably somewhere in the middle right now.
Okay.
In terms of, you know, the kinds of resources that are available, which is pretty good. The kinds of help that entrepreneurs and small businesses can get, which can be pretty good. You got to make sure you know what you're looking for, but yes, it can be good. I think the overall tax burden is probably a little higher than you're going to see other places. But then you're going to see things, intangibles like hospital quality, for example, which there was a recent Center for Medicare and Medicaid Services survey that showed Wisconsin, you know, pretty high up. So if you look at school, you know, all the kinds of things that support a general community as well as what supports a business, I feel like we're doing pretty well. There's always room to do better.
Totally.
Always room to do more. But that's how that column, I took a look. It depends on where you are in the state and who's asking the question about how good we are.
Well, and who's producing the study. I get all those Wallet Hub. I feel like almost once a week there's some Wallet Hub, and it's like, all right, well, where's Wisconsin?
Sometimes
I feel like a lot of measures were kind of middle of the pack, and which is kind of goes in line with what you just said as far as a place to start a business is. There's some measures that maybe were closer to the top, like the stubbornness and survivability, but there's also things. So as far as like your top three, because Wisconsin Technology Council does advise and have input on policy, what's kind of the top three things that you think would make it easier for whether it's small businesses or for startups to thrive in Wisconsin, if you had your wish list?
Sure. Well, we touched on two of them, at least briefly. One would be in rural parts of Wisconsin, we still need to do a better job around broadband. You know, you have to be able to make sure that that Main Street business in whatever smaller town has the ability to be a business that could reach nationwide, globally, whatever, if they have the right product. So that's one. The other is capital. We work very hard at the Tech Council to try to see that there's enough capital, especially for those tech-related startups in Wisconsin, but there's always a need for more. We're still probably punching a little below our weight and where we should be on capital. That's one. And then finally, the biggest one today is actually workforce. That, you know, if you're, whether you're a pretty new company or one that's got some wind in your sails already, you want to make sure you got the talent to get it done. And that's where we just held an event that featured the UW system president, the tech college president, and the president of the independent colleges. And we dove in to ask them specifically, what are you doing to help crank out those kinds of workers? And it was good to hear, because in many cases, there are partnerships with business itself to try to solve some of those problems.
And that's actually, I mean, we talk about workforce issues all the time. And so specifically, what do you see as... if we're talking about a young person looking at the survey and the different kinds of jobs that they could have, what do you see like 5 to 10 years from now are the industries that we really need to be filling and as the top priority?
Yeah. Well, I think in some ways it might look a little bit like it does now in terms of the you know, IT, the explosion in AI and what that's going to do in both a human and a business sense as that evolves. I think there will continue to be innovation around healthcare, which Wisconsin has a great start on. I think we have a lot of strong companies here, and certainly a lot of strong research institutions that can really add to that. So those are some areas. But you know, at the end of the day, we're still a manufacturing state too.
Yeah.
And so I think you might see more young people, even if they don't go to college or tech college right away, they'll probably want to come back and gain some kind of certificate or some kind of, you know, a fast way to get up to speed and wherever they've already started. So I think that's going to be out there. I think manufacturing is going to remain pretty hot in Wisconsin, and I think it's going to be driven in part by innovation, especially around resiliency, the notion of what can keep those businesses operating at a profit and in a way that they're not, you know, contributing to the, you know, other environmental issues that cause it to be hot in Arizona.
Yeah, exactly. It's funny that you mentioned that, because we were going to talk about in the next segment the coolest things in Wisconsin, made in Wisconsin, that contest from WMC just launched. And so we were going to talk about some of the items that you may not realize that are still made in Wisconsin and celebrating things that are made in our state. But I also wanted to, before we have to let you go, you guys have an event coming up in November, the Early Stage Symposium. So what is the Early Stage Symposium?
Yeah, it's a conference we've put on for about, you know, 20 plus years now. And it is a matchmaking event between angel and venture capitalists, and young companies. It's going to be at Monona Terrace, November 8th. That's the convention center in Madison. It's our biggest event of the year. And so we see investors from all over the region, not just Wisconsin, but well beyond, and young companies, same, mostly from Wisconsin, but sometimes others come in because they want to be here.
There's not a barrier to entry that you have to be a Wisconsin company.
No, okay. No, especially if I find out why there's a way to maybe try to get them here.
There so you go.
that's always a plus. But it is it's at its heart, a pitch event. A certain level of young companies would take part in a 5-minute pitch segments that we have there. That's going to be a couple of dozen companies there. So plenty of room. And then we have something called our Elevator Pitch Olympics, which is 90 seconds and a cloud of dust, really. I mean, it's a quick hit, but it's judged by investors from all over. And so it's our own little Shark Tank. And in fact, we did this before Shark Tank. So
there you go. So it predates. Are the personalities as big as the personalities on Shark Tank as far as who the judges are?
You know, sometimes I haven't met a whole lot of shy investors. So yes, it can get pretty funny.
I bet.
But they're at the same time, they're very constructive.
Yeah.
You know, I don't see people, you know, rip to shreds by it, but the investors tell them, hey, here's what you might want to do to move to another level and polish it up a bit. And so it's really a lot of fun. People like it.
And are applications still open for startups to join and be in the competition?
Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. We're going to keep that open until October 6th.
All right.
And then we have a steering committee that helps us pick those companies. So it's not just us. So there's some others who are out there in the tech world who have some great expertise, and we get them involved.
All right. Well, we'll put that link on our show notes for today. Tom Still, always fun to talk to you. He is the president of the Wisconsin Technology Council. Thank you for your insight and your input today. It's so good. It's always so good to have you here.
Oh, thank you. It's always great to be a part of it. Thanks, Greg and Kristen. Take care.
All right. Have a great day. Bye. All right. We're going to take one more break. When we come back, this will still be As Goes Wisconsin.
Your hometown station for news, talk, and sports. Locally grown radio is 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM. When the train rolls by, I'm gonna be ready this time. When the boy gets a look in his eye, I'm gonna be ready this time.
Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin. I am Kristen Bry. He is Greg Bach. Greg, how are you feeling?
I'm feeling good. It is another challenging day. Because I have high emotional intelligence. There was challenges, but as I said, we cleared them. We got to where we need. Big thanks to Corey and Calvin for helping out on that.
Yes,
but yeah,
absolutely.
Yeah, but feeling good. How are you feeling?
It's funny because I think I've mentioned before, maybe this was last week with Dr. Lyerly, of like the most important thing you can do while pregnant is keep your stress levels down.
Yeah.
Today didn't help that.
Yeah, but you're really good at after, you know, you get in the moment, but then you have to move on. You're a professional. You have to do the show. So you get back in the groove, you know?
Get back in the groove.
Get back in that groove thing, baby.
All right. Well, as I said, when we were just talking to Tom Still from Wisconsin Technology Council, I saw this morning. The time has come again to vote for the coolest thing made in Wisconsin.
And you can't vote for Kristen's baby.
You can't vote for... Yes. How cool would it be if you could, though?
Award-winning baby.
On last Thursday, Wisconsin Manufacturers and Commerce released a list of more than 100 nominees hoping to compete in the 8th annual contest. And the first round of voting starts today. And this round of voting will determine the top 16. But it's not, when you go to the website, which I was perusing this morning, It's not like a bracket.
Okay.
Unfortunately.
Oh.
So you actually have to go through, which I feel like skews the voting, if I'm going to be totally honest, because you probably can send people, if you're the if you're this company that's nominated,
mm-hmm.
you're like, go vote for us, because it's not necessarily the most user-friendly to go through and like see everything that's nominated, but you should still do it because it's actually kind of fun to see everything that is still made in Wisconsin, including of which, and it's funny because I had no idea. Do you know that Carmex lip balm made in Wisconsin?
I did know that.
I did know that. Karma Labs in Franklin.
Yeah, I knew that. Felt good about that knowledge.
But that feels like, I don't know what the criteria is to be nominated for this, because that Carmex has been around forever.
Yeah.
So I would think that it would be like newer stuff, but maybe it's like you can defend your title each year because it doesn't have to be something that's been created or is new to market.
Maybe a legacy bracket or not a category, not bracket, sorry. Legacy category.
Oh, like, okay.
Like Milwaukee Tools and...
Yeah. And, so once the top 16 will be in a tournament style bracket, but first it's now it's just like the 100 some products that you have to go click through. And I'll put the link in today's show notes, but it's madeinwis.com, and that will take you to voting. But it's interesting because, like, what is cool? That's what I looking at this list, that's like, to say coolest.
The fact that we're like asking.
I feel like the word cool is like, to have that be the descriptor and like the criteria is like very, very subjective.
I wanted to be in the room when they came up with this and someone's like, let's look for the coolest thing. And there's some intern who's like 21 and they're just like, oh, this is so uncool.
Because there are some things on here that look very cool. So yeah. The Troy Indy Special, the company is 715 Motorworks in Three Lakes, Wisconsin.
Okay.
The Troy Indy Special is a custom-made race car for the road, designed, customized, and hand-built by a small team of fabricators in the heart of the Northwoods, better known as Three Lakes, Wisconsin. The Troy Indy Special has made its debut next to the best of the best of Motorworks in the U.S. and has been featured on Jay Leno's Garage Series. From its custom design, detailed fabrication, and pristine quality, you'll want to get your hands on one of these limited custom roadsters.
You are just doing a commercial.
As there will only be 33 Troy Indies fabricated. So that, to me, is cool.
Yeah.
The screw press separator from All Inns Enterprises, LLC, and Fond du Lac looks less cool. If I'm being totally honest, like, it looks very functional.
Yeah.
It looks very like it works and it does its job. But as far as it being cool,
that, like,
I don't know. But then there's also the Benshot propeller glass.
Oh my God.
Made in Appleton by Benshot LLC.
Are they called shot glasses?
No, the Elevate Your Drinking Game with these handcrafted glasses featuring a solid metal propeller embedded right into the side. The perfect addition to any home bar or hangar. Each glass is high quality, heavy, and handcrafted in our glass workshop in Wisconsin. All packaging and raw materials are made in the USA. Each propeller is cast out of metal by a US-based expert jeweler. Our team then assembles, adds a patina finish, and embeds each propeller onto the glass. So, like, that's kind of cool. Is it functional? I don't know.
Yeah. The screw press separator, like, it's like very Ron Swanson. We're like, we want to put your thing on there. That's great. Thank you.
Exactly. So I highly recommend, because it's, there's a skee ball machine on here.
Ooh.
It looks like there is a wash bar, like an automated, but there's also wine and cheese.
Okay.
And so it like runs, it's not just like physical, like manufactured type goods. Some of it is still food. So it's kind of fun to go through here and beer tap handles. Custom-made beer tap handles?
You know, I love beer tap handles. You go to the different breweries and you see how they take the concept, and some places they're very ornate. Sometimes they're just a block of wood with their initials burned in, and it's very simple. I love it. I love that stuff.
Jolly Good Soda, classic.
The Pride of Random Lakes.
Yeah. So it's really fun to kind of go through here, and some of it is like, it's definitely, and there's an electric mower. It's really runs the gambit.
I'm buying one of those soon. Oh, no, electric snowblower.
Oh, so you plug it in and charge it up?
Oh, not electric. Yeah, it's run by batteries.
So you have to charge the battery, right?
Yeah, exactly. It's going to be so cool. Can't wait.
So yeah, so if you want to vote for this, I will link the I'll put the link in the show notes for today so you can kind of just go through and see some of the things, the range of products that are made in Wisconsin, but also what is cool.
Yeah.
I feel like that is, it's like most useful, most innovative, like thing you'd be most likely to brag about of like, oh, that's made in Wisconsin.
Slick
like,
looking.
Spotted cow, you know. but I thought that was a fun thing to end on for the day. What is this one? Mushroom gin.
Hard pass on both. I love mushrooms. I can't drink gin.
Did you have a bad experience once?
Oh, yeah. It's a whole different Greg.
What kind of gin was it? Was it like rail gin?
No, it was gin. No, I just, gin is bad for me. Oh. It's bad. It's bad.
Bad Greg comes out?
Horrible Greg comes out.
Got it. Say no more. Yeah. All right. Well, thank you for listening today. Thank you to Joe McClear. Thank you to Tom Still. Thank you to Tanya Atkinson. Thank you to all of the people who are letting us know when they can and cannot hear us and helping us fix this stuff live on air. We really appreciate it. We really appreciate your patience. I promise we are working towards getting this to be as smooth and operational as possible.
Oh, we're getting there.
We're getting there. This has been As Goes Wisconsin. Come back tomorrow at 10 a.m.
I'm William Shatner. I've been around a long time, but I'm truly humbled when I see the real battles our brave, paralyzed veterans have faced defending our freedom.
I was on a routine patrol, and we were in the desert of Kuwait, and the vehicle flipped and landed on top of me, which left me paralyzed from the waist down.
Okay, folks, this is heroism. That's why I'm proud to support Paralyzed Veterans of America. Go to PVA.org to learn how you can make a difference.
How do you locate a support group, professional association, or local organization? United Way's 211 will provide the answers to these questions and more. 211 is your connection to programs and services in Central Wisconsin. Dial 211 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. In this ever-changing world, it is often hard to find the program or service you're looking for. United Way's 211 can assist you locating services. 211 is free and confidential. Trained referral specialists will help you get connected 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Dial 211. Every day, people begin a difficult and sometimes desperate search for programs that can provide assistance. United Way's 211 is there to connect you to the programs and services you need. For non-emergency information and referral services, call United Way's 211 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Dial 211. With thousands of programs in the database, they can assist you 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Dial 211.
Meet Ingrid, fiery spirit, caring grandma, proud trucker.
I've logged more than 4 million miles in my truck. If people knew what I know, lives could be saved. I was driving outside of Ohio when a gentleman stopped suddenly in front of me. But it takes my 80,000-pound truck 200 yards to stop. I'd given myself extra room, but it's not a chance worth taking.
It's our roads. It's our safety.
Visit www.sharetheroadsafely.gov.
James here, host of the new Sunrise Show on WisCountry 105.5 WIRI. We're on the air live every weekday from 7 to 8 a.m. to start your day right with...
More Garth! More Reba!
Winona!
Yeah, but also the National Day of Calendar.
Brooks and Dunn!
Country news.
Brooks and Dunn!
This day in country history and your requests, plus the country legends.
More Garth! More Reba!
That you know and love. It's coffee, conversation, and country. Every weekday from 7 to 8 on 105.5 WIRI, WisCountry.
Winona.
I didn't ask to be thrown in the streets with nowhere to go.
I just can't.
I didn't think I'd survive. But I did ask for help, and Covenant House was there for me.
1 in 10 young adults will experience a form of homelessness this year. For these kids who didn't ask to be put in this unthinkable situation, Covenant House is there.
Covenant House helped me break the cycle of homelessness in my family. They gave me the love that I needed.
Over 2,000 young people will sleep safely in a Covenant House bed tonight. When youth who are experiencing homelessness have a hot meal, a safe place to sleep, medical care, and love. They can overcome heartbreaking challenges and have a brighter future.
They just really genuinely just wanted to help me succeed, and I'm succeeding. I'm a speaker, I'm an author. Covenant House really helped me and really helped mold me into the woman I am today.
If you or someone you love is asking for help, go to safeplacetosleep.org today.
WFHR, Wisconsin Rapids, 1320 AM and W248DE, broadcasting at 97.5 FM.
From Lake Wazeecha and beyond, your news, talk, and sports is locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR, 1320 AM.
This is CBS News on the Hour, presented by Indeed.